There's no shortage of reasons to be glad that you're part of a denomination. Some of them are a little more almost trivial than others. But as I was looking at this time of the year, it's always tricky to know when Remembrance Sunday is going to be. Because is it the last Sunday before Remembrance Day or what? So I looked up on the Presbyterian Church of Canada's website, and this Sunday is All Saints Sunday, and next Sunday is Remembrance Sunday, so I didn't have to think about it at all. That's just the way we're going to do it. Doesn't mean we're not going to have poppies and wreaths this Sunday, of course. But we're going to be talking at least a little bit about saints. Because it's All Saints Sunday, a time for us to consider what that might possibly mean. All Saints Day, which was November 1st, was set aside as an opportunity for people to be reminded of those who had gone before, who had been declared saints in at least some traditions, in a formal, almost legal way, and for the rest of us to remember those who had gone before that we would call saints in whatever form that might be. Because when we look through Scripture, the word saint is found, and it's mostly applied not to people who have gone before, who have died a while ago and have had lives of that were worthy of emulation. Saints, for the most part, are addressed to people who are still alive. Paul writes to the saints here and the saints there, and he's not talking about people who are dead. He's talking about people like us, who haven't achieved some kind of perfection, but we've achieved something. So what could it be that makes a saint, that we can have a little broader, perhaps, definition of? Well, and as I was thinking about it, the thing that came to my mind as much as anything is that saints, well, as the sermon title is, saints can be found everywhere. They're all over the place. Because what makes a saint isn't someone who has died and then miracles have been performed in their name. Another religious tradition looks at that as a way to make a capital S saint. A saint is someone who has figured out what it means to follow God. Really, that's about it. We could get a larger definition, a more nuanced one, certainly a more elegant one than that. But that's what it comes down to. That saints are those people who have figured out what it means to follow God. And as I was looking at our texts this Sunday to see, do they connect with this idea on All Saints Sunday? Or because we could have just pushed back to the lectionary texts for November 1st, but I thought we'll stay here and see what's there. And sure enough, there are at least some things that connect with this. And when we look at Paul's writing in Thessalonians, there isn't a whole lot in the Old Testament lesson, so we're not going to be spending a lot of time there, really. But when we look here in Thessalonians, Paul, right at the end of the reading, thanks God continually because, speaking to these people, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as from people, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. So one of the first things that characterizes a saint is that they hear the word of God and know it for what it is. And let's make one thing perfectly clear. This isn't something that human beings just figure out themselves. This is still the human response to God's gracious reaching out to us to illumine us to what is real and what might not be. But this is what makes a saint. One of the most important things is accepting that God's word comes from God, not just from a clever speaker, not just from somebody who knows a good turn of phrase or anything like it. That's what makes a saint, or at least that's part of what makes a saint. And we begin to see already that there's a larger group than just people who died tens or hundreds or thousands of years ago and left a mark. And when we look at our gospel lesson, what we see Jesus giving us two contrasting pictures of what it means to follow God. I've always found this an interesting passage of Scripture for lots of reasons. Jesus is talking to the crowds and to his disciples. I always find it interesting how often Matthew in particular talks about Jesus talking to both at the same time. Sometimes wondered why is that there, and I think part of it is to help us realize that there isn't that much of a barrier between the crowds and the disciples. They're in the same place interacting with the same person, and if Jesus didn't make much of a distinction in how he taught them, we probably shouldn't make much of a distinction either, which also feeds into our discussion about saints. Jesus says, there are teachers of the law. There are Pharisees who sit in Moses' seat. That's how this translation puts it. These are the people who have figured out the Old Testament law. And he says, you must obey them and do everything they tell you. These are the scholars in the religious tradition that all of these people that Jesus is talking to are in. And he says, pay attention to these people. They've worked really hard at understanding this. Do what they say, but don't do what they do. Off the top of my head, one of the most demoralizing things somebody can tell you is that you don't practice what you preach. Which for me has a double whammy because I actually do preach. But people who say you don't do what you say I should do or what we should do. And I'm not talking about those things that your kids throw at you when you want them to go to bed and you say, well, you don't go to bed at 7:30. Yeah, well, that's a little bit different. But when you don't work out the moral precepts that you ask other people to do, there's a problem. And Jesus identifies this problem and puts it right here. He talks about how what these people do is for show, that they're interested in something. They're interested in the content of the law, of course, because they know it well. But that's about where it stops, because after that, what they're interested in is everything that people can see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. These are going back to the Old Testament suggestions of how to remind yourself that you are in connection with God. You had these external symbols that were supposed to remind you and others. And these people want bigger and better ones. They want to be at the place of honor. They want the most at banquets. They want the most important seats in the synagogue, which I wish I knew where they were. The most important seats in a time of Jesus' synagogue, the ones up here, or the ones at the back, or the ones on the side? Did they get to sit up here somewhere? I just don't know. It's a pointless bit of curiosity, but it's still one I have. And would be curious, where did these people want to end up? They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have people call them rabbi. What these people are interested in is the externals that somehow make them more important than the people around them. What they're looking for is those marks of differentiation. And I'm not talking about the obvious ones. There's all kinds of difference in this room, and all of it's wonderful. We have different ages. We have men and women. We have different interests. We have different backgrounds. All of those are fine. We're not talking about everybody becoming the same. But what these people were interested in was creating a sense of difference that was also a hierarchical difference, that they were better than the people around them, that they were called rabbi because they knew things that other people didn't, and because of that, they deserved a special kind of respect. And Jesus goes on to say, no, don't do these things. You're not to be called rabbi. You're all brothers and sisters. You're not supposed to go to these people. And the image that is in this translation, and do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father and he is in heaven, with a small F and a capital F. And what Jesus is getting at is, don't go to these people as saying, you are the font of all religious value for me. He's saying that's what God is. These people are not that. And he goes on, don't call people teacher when you already have the Christ. What Jesus is doing here, to put it in the language of this celebration, of this All Saints Sunday, is Jesus is saying, this is what a saint looks like. Saints are the people who don't do this group of things, but do this group of things. And the passage finishes, for whoever exalts themselves will be humbled, and whoever humbles themselves will be exalted. We need to take a moment, as we always do, to remind ourselves that humility is not some peculiar sense of no value. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's not saying that people who humble themselves have convinced themselves that they have nothing to offer. That's not what humility is. Humility is a very clear understanding of what you have to offer, but that clear understanding also expands to say, because I know this, it doesn't mean that I am fundamentally better than you. It also doesn't mean that I'm fundamentally worse than you. Humility is a clear-eyed assessment of what you can do and what you have to offer. And on that basis, saying that this is what I can provide. And I will provide it, and you will take it if you will or if you won't. I won't force you to, because that's not humility anymore. That's something else. Jesus is telling these people and telling us that the hallmark of a saint, of someone who follows God, who loves Jesus, who allows the Holy Spirit to work out what needs to be done through them, are these kinds of things. They're not the kind of thing that pushes you to always want to be at the front of the line, to be recognized for all of your accomplishments, whatever they are. And there's nothing wrong with other people recognizing your accomplishments. But if you push them to remind everyone around you how wonderful you are, then that's where the problem comes in. Humility is an interesting thing. It's the ability to look at what you've got and take it for what it is and just stop there. One of the examples of humility that I had was from my theology professor when I was in college. I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but it's worth mentioning again. Now, I knew that he had a PhD because it was Dr. Glenn Scorgi. It wasn't, Mr., and it wasn't, he didn't have an MD at the end, so I knew he had a PhD. What I didn't know from him, because he never brought it up, was that he's the only person I've ever heard of who didn't have to defend his doctoral dissertation. He did his PhD at the University of St. Andrews, a well-regarded university in Scotland, a well-regarded university around the world for what it specializes in, and one of those is theology. And his dissertation was so good, it was unassailable. It wasn't that there was nothing to defend, it was that it couldn't be attacked. This is extraordinary. It never happens. He could have brought that up, and he could have, without just saying, by the way, he could have just dropped it in there somewhere, as people who feel the need to do those sorts of things do. But he never did. I heard it from another professor. This is somebody who understood that what he had was worthy of offer, and then he offered it. An extraordinary thing that virtually no one else ever accomplishes, he did. And it was just there. It was just part of who he was. And it wasn't something you need to bring up all the time. That's humility. Humility is not letting you know subtly or otherwise how much my house costs, or how much bigger my house is than yours, or how much newer my car is, or whatever those other things are that we look at that we want people to value us more because of what we have. That's not humility. That's something else. Pride of the wrong kind. If I look at my education as saying that I am somehow better than you, that's arrogance of another kind. Those aren't the things we're called to do, and those aren't the things that characterize saints. We remember saints because they're so unusual, the capital S saints, and we remember those people in our own history, those ones that we look to and go, that was the person who taught me that thing that I needed to know on that day. And you know what? If you were to ask them about it, they might not even remember doing it. Because they didn't wake up that morning and say, okay, God, I'm pretty sure I have something for that guy named Barry that's going to change his life forever, so I sure hope he notices. Because saints are the people who have figured out what it is that they need to do under the call of God, and then they do it. Because the value is in the doing, not in the being known for the doing. So when they had that interaction with me, whatever it was, it didn't stand out because it wasn't this unique thing. It was who they were. It made a profound difference in me. And I can think of many times that someone, through a casual remark or sometimes through an in-depth conversation, has demonstrated something for me that's changed me forever. But these people are also not limited to what they say to us, because saints live their lives in such a way that what they do makes a difference as well. And how they behave. I learned so much more about how to treat women, about people of color, of people who have less than me, and people who have more than me, from watching my father do those things than from anything he ever said. My dad was one of those people who valued you because you were. Oh, and you're an interesting person? Well, how nice. You're well off, you're not well off. All these things came afterwards. Your value began because you simply were. And that just changed who I was from my earliest memories, without him needing to preach anything or talk about it particularly. Those are the actions of a saint, doing what needs to be done, not because anyone will be seen. And it's the story that I've told here before of the journalist who needed to go and interview Mother Teresa. And so went to Calcutta or wherever she was supposed to be and looked around, couldn't find her, and finally asked the cleaning woman where she was. I need to talk to Teresa, where is she? And she said, oh, okay, go ahead. So what? Well, you want to talk to me? Talk to me. But your mother, you're washing the floor. I said, well, the floor needed to be washed. A saint isn't someone who waits for the big thing that needs to be done that everyone will notice. The saints are the people who do what needs to be done, whether it's big or small, public or private, impressive or not. And when we start moving into those ways of thinking, it doesn't diminish the impact of a Saint Francis, a Saint Paul, a Saint Matthew who recorded this gospel for us. But it expands past them through these stalwarts, these extraordinary examples that we are fairly sure will never be able to match up to whatever that says about us. And it includes people like, well, like my dad, who was really good at demonstrating some of those things. And he wasn't perfect. There's a bunch of stuff that I do because my dad did that I wish I didn't. And I remember talking to him about things that he did that he wished he didn't. I'd still call him a saint, and not just because he's dead, but because he made a difference. Because he looked at the life that he was given, he looked at the place he was in, and he did what he thought needed to be done. He talked to people about Jesus when it seemed appropriate. He lived a life that demonstrated the reality of Jesus in his life to the best of his ability all the time. What more can we ask of a saint? Nothing. But that's what we're called to as well, and that's what we do. All Saints Sunday isn't a time for us to look at people we put on a pinnacle and then say, well, we are worthless because we are not on the pinnacle. It's to look at the people on the pinnacle and they can stay there, but to look at all those other people who will never get one of those that are just important, just as important to each of us. A parent, a friend, an acquaintance, someone you've never physically met, but you listen to them on the radio, see them on television, you have a podcast, whatever it is, these people that change who you are because of their understanding that they have been put in this place by God to do these things, and they do them. That's what a saint is. There's lots of saints around us. I look out and all I see are saints as far as the eye can see. Are any of you going to be canonized? Well, if you want to be canonized, you need to pick a different church. We don't do that here at the Presbyterian Church. But if you want to be a saint, continue doing exactly what you're doing. Because this is what we're called to be. Followers of Jesus, making mistakes, fallen as we are. But we're called to be the kinds of people that we are, not somebody else. We're called to do the things that we are called to do, not somebody else's call. And when we do those things, that's when we're being the saints that we all are. All Saints Sunday is a time for us to remember those who have gone before, and it's a worthy thing for us to do. And I find it fascinating that it's right before Remembrance Sunday when we remember a different group of people. Although there is quite a lot of crossover there, isn't there, between those two groups. It's good for us today, or on November 1st, if you do, to take some time to think of those people that have made a difference in your life because they love Jesus, whether you ever met them, whether they lived 100 or 1,000 years ago, or they live in the same house as you. Because it's good to remember those people, but it's also good to remember that we're one of them too. Realizing that you're a saint doesn't give you a swelled head, at least it doesn't have to. Realizing that you're a saint reminds you that you have been called by God, that you've been given things that only you can do, and when you do them, you're doing everything you can do and everything you should do. So on this All Saints Sunday, take a moment to look around and see all the other saints that are here. And then when next time you're around a mirror, take a glance there, and you'll see another one too. Amen.